land of the free. Has anything changed at home? Sweet liberty.
Listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight here on Sweet Liberty. And I am trusting that our shortwave listeners are listening to Sweet Liberty this evening. I had a call today from a listener who wanted to know if I was off the air, because he tuned in the last couple of nights, Wednesday and Monday, and was listening to Pastor Pete Peters, and he thought I was off the air. And I wonder how many other listeners thought that, folks. At $140 an hour. What I want to do tonight, well, first of all, we'll start with our spiritual message. This is I did this a week or so ago, the essential Alan Watts on faith. Faith is a state of openness or trust. To have faith is like when you trust yourself to the water. You don't grab a hold of the water when you swim, because if you do, you'll become stiff and tight in the water and you'll sink. You have to relax. And the attitude of faith is the very opposite of clinging and holding on. In other words, a person who is fanatic in matters of religion and clings to certain ideas about the nature of God and the universe becomes a person who has no faith at all. Instead, they're holding tight. But the attitude of faith is to let go and become open to truth, whatever it might turn out to be. Alan Watt is with us again this evening. Thanks for being here, Alan.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I think you're coming in pretty clear here.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm glad. Not over-modulated?
Just a tiny bit. You're plus 40 again, but it's not muffled as much.
Well, I've heard from so many people since we've been discussing this, and that's what I get from just about everybody, that it's my voice is always over-modulated.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't make sense when we talk.
I actually think that you were playing tapes, because sometimes on the old tapes, that's the kind of effect you'd get if the head and the tapes was dirty,
yeah,
and cleaned, and that's what I thought. You were playing tapes at one point, but it's over modulated. Yeah.
Uh huh, and it's better now.
It seems a bit clearer right now.
All right, folks, that's good. I hope you can hear me. One of the things that I wanted to address. And I'm going to make a little note and remind you each evening of this for any new listeners. I understand that very often when you tune into 5070, at least on the Sweet Liberty broadcast, those who have already discovered this, if you can dial up or dial down, try it, because sometimes I'm told that at 5.074, the signal is very clear. And so that might be something you might do. And another thing I want to do here is, if you will get a pencil and a paper. I've never done this before, but it's very frustrating to be on the air and not be able to make a personal call if we're having technical problems. I've talked to quite a few of you who have the experience and the understanding, if you would. And I want to give you, I don't know which number you would be able to reach. When Kate called in the other night, I gave her four numbers because I wasn't sure which one she would be able to get through on, and she was able to get through the one number. Now, this is the business number. It's an 800 number, and the number is 238-5576. This is to WWCR. And what I'm requesting you do is if you do tune in and the broadcast isn't on or it's terribly overmodulated. I remember one night when I believe Eleanor called in and it was overmodulated and she made a call to the station and got a hold of the engineer and evidently just a simple adjustment, because after that night everybody said it cleared up beautifully. And when we spoke with Jason last night, the engineer there at WWCR, he did say that they're getting a very clear and good signal in from the satellite, because WFAR is on a new satellite frequency. And I need to get that and give it to you folks. For those of you who have C-band satellite, because it sure is good listening. Anyway, it just makes sense, all the sense in the world to me, that if it is coming in to the station clear and crisp and clean, then we should expect that it would be leaving the station in the same manner. And if it was coming in overmodulated, I'm sure that we would be told that by the station. Or at least I would think that we would be told that. I think that would be part of the service that the station would provide their broadcasters if there was a problem in the send. And we've never gotten a call saying, well, you're overmodulating and we need to do some testing. So anyway, the... Hello?
Hi, Jackie. It's Eleanor. I just want to let you know you are sounding much more overmodulated.
Tonight, I'm overmodulated?
Yep. That's in Hamilton, Ontario. I mean, who knows what's causing this?
Okay, but how about Alan?
I haven't heard Alan yet.
Okay, tune in, listen, and give me a buzz back if you would, Eleanor, because last night we were being told that Alan wasn't and I was.
That was true last night. In fact, I didn't even find you terribly overmodulated last night. You were fuzzy, but you're always fuzzy. So it didn't seem that much out of the ordinary last night, but tonight is much more so here in Hamilton.
Okay, would you listen? I'm going to ask Alan to talk for a minute.
Okay.
Thanks, Eleanor.
Mm-hmm.
Alan?
Yeah, I'm getting you pretty clear here.
Okay.
I was listening to that on my radio there.
Okay.
So I could hear you clearer, but I know they're using HARP in different areas. They can actually put it in a small bandwidth.
Uh-huh.
So maybe they're getting it down the Hamilton way as well.
Right.
If you tune into 8700, you'll often hear the HARP pulsing away. It's one of the strongest signals on the shortwave. But, yeah, you're pretty clear right now.
Okay, good. Well, I've got a couple of other numbers here.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Hi, Jackie. Yeah, Alan is not as bad as you are. He's close to normal.
Thanks, Eleanor.
Okay.
Eleanor. Eleanor, do you have the number of WWCR?
Yes, I do.
Would you... what number do you use, honey, that you get through on?
Well, last night I used the first one there, the 256-2701.
2701. Okay. Is there any other number that you've used?
I have 615.
Uh huh.
256.
Uh huh.
1377.
Okay. Those are the broadcast numbers. Okay, Eleanor. Thanks very much. Would you make a call?
Oh, okay.
Talk to the engineer and see if they can do something about it.
I shall do so.
Thank you, honey.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, there we go, Alan. But
yes.
Now you're saying that it's not overmodulated where you are.
It is on the signal strength is right on the right-hand side, so it can't go any higher. It could go into overmodulation very easily, again, depending where you are. And it's true in cities. Some cities you'll get more interference with so much power in the power grid all over the city.
But I don't understand why yours wouldn't be the same way. That doesn't make sense to me.
I just said if you're in a city, you're inside a power grid.
I'm not in a city.
We're talking about Eleanor. She's in Hamilton.
But I'm overmodulated and you aren't.
Oh, you can hear it there. Okay.
Yeah. That's what she said.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it sounds clear here, but Eleanor is in a city. She's picking it up in Hamilton.
Yeah, okay.
And she's in the power grid there, and that might interfere to an extent, you know.
And it has something to do with the frequency of my voice?
It's obvious that if I'm coming in clear and you're not, and we're both on the same telephone line, then something has to be happening to push your voice out of the picture. We're both on the same line.
Yeah. And it could be...
And if we were off the radio on the same line, we'd both be perfectly clear to each other. You know?
Yes.
So why does it go that way when the same line and both voices, it seems to select one and deny the other?
Uh-huh.
That's what I mean.
All right, folks, I'm going to give you these numbers again, if you would write them down and keep them handy. I've also been told by so many people that when they listen to the broadcast before Sweet Liberty, it's very loud and clear and crystal clear, and then Sweet Liberty comes on, and they can barely make out what we're saying. People listen closely. And I think there's a trick, don't you, to shortwave listening, Alan?
Oh, well, yes, absolutely.
There really is, and I admire people who stick with it.
Your imagination comes into play as you fill in the gaps that you can't hear.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, one of the letters I got with a donation, he said, I've had so much trouble hearing because of the, you know, reception. And he said, but little by little, I've been able to pick up enough that it's finally sinking in. In other words, with the conversations that we've had and the information that has been presented and shared with our listeners. I want to give those numbers just one more time. And folks, if you do have a problem, and not to be hounding, or you understand what I'm saying, I'm not giving these numbers out.
Jackie?
Yes.
This is Nicholas. I just got a call from WWCR. They said those two numbers, one doesn't get answered during the evening, the 800 number.
Yeah.
And the other number is for programs, so that could be frustrating. He gave me two numbers that for comments or about shows and so forth. It's first one is 615
255-1300. 1300, okay.
And the other one is 1377.
Thank you very much, Nicholas.
And we just went out over the air with this, so.
Okay, that's great. Thanks so
okay.
much. All right, folks, if you got those numbers, forget the other numbers that I gave you. And these are the numbers, if you are having a problem, 615-255-1300 or 615-255-1377. Please keep the numbers handy. Was that last night that Kate called in and made the calls for me, Alan?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and I was going to ask Alan to take over so that I could go get another phone to make the call. And I really appreciate it, folks, if you'll give us a hand here and keep us. Hello?
Hi, Jackie. I just heard that thing. Right, and
uh-huh.
That's the same fellow who talked to you on air.
You got Jason.
And I use 256 as the prefix.
Okay.
So I don't think you want to tell the listeners to discard either one.
Okay.
Both, basically.
Okay, great. And you called 256-2701?
Yes, sir. I only got was a busy signal so far.
Okay. Thanks, Eleanor.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, Alan. That said...
Well, it's just a matter that they keep monitoring and let us know. You know.
Yes.
Because we can't really tell unless I jump up and put the headset on.
Well, I know that a lot of listeners, I do get letters from listeners who are still sponsoring that cannot hear or barely hear, but I do know that when people cannot hear, I got a letter from one gentleman, and he said that it isn't even worth you being on the air.
Uh-huh.
Because you can never hear you.
Yeah, where was he from?
I don't know. I think in Ohio someplace.
it's a battle. That's all we can say.
I wanted to let our listeners know. Alan, I don't know if you've been hearing this or not, but that Bush and Cheney and his gang have been indicted by a grand jury in Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's not the truth.
No. No, I'm not surprised. No, they, all those rumors that go around all the time are just distractions.
Well, I believe there is a grand jury sitting in Chicago, mm-hmm. and it has something to do with Daley, the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
But I've gotten two or three or four of them on the internet, and I received one today, and this woman said this is a hoax. It isn't true, because she had called and wanted to know when they were going to make the announcement, and they said there has been no indictment because there's been no grand jury sitting for that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I got one just before we went on air, and evidently one of the superstars interviewed, I know who it was, Tom Flacco, today, and they said it was confirmed that you could take it to the bank, basically, that this grand jury in Chicago had indicted Bush and Cheney and the gang. And so I wanted our listeners to know that the information I've got is that that is not true. So don't take it to the bank, folks.
No, there is no complaint department for any of this.
No, there isn't. We were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah.
With the gas prices. Now, I got an email today, and evidently there's a group of truckers that are protesting the high gas prices. Of course, any independent truckers that are left.
Yes, very few.
We'll be going down the tubes on this one. And that was a comment that I made to you. I said, my God,
mm-hmm.
everybody's complaining, but we complain to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because what do you do about it? Who do you talk to? And like you said, in this system, there is no complaint department.
No.
You've got the corporations
mm-hmm.
that are controlling, and you've got bureaucrats
mm-hmm.
that are not answerable to the public.
Yes. Uh-huh. And that's what Carol Quigley said in Tragedy and Hope, that the new system would be basically a new feudal system run by international corporations with members jumping in and out of governments and back to the corporations, which is exactly what we've had for many years. So, there's no complaints department for the spraying in the skies or for anything else that's happened. There truly is no complaints department here.
Well, as far as those chemtrails, I've talked to several people who, when the planes are flying in their area,
mm-hmm.
they'll call the airport, or they'll call if there's a military base close by,
uh-huh.
Air Force base or whatever,
yeah.
And there the planes are, you know, spreading their joy around the skies,
mm-hmm.
and they're just told that according to our radar, there's no air traffic out there.
Yeah, well, you're seeing things.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's it. They're all told the same stories and fob the public off with silly answers.
Yes.
Because they can't they've gone too far now that they can't trace back their steps. They're into the killing phase. That's what's happening, and they can't go back and say, yeah, we have been hitting you hard with this stuff and it will increase the death rate, definitely with the very young and the elderly especially, you know. That's what generally happens.
Yes, I would.
Anything foreign to the body, and so they can't go back and tell the public that now. They've gone too far.
Talking to my friend Mel today
mm-hmm.
from North Carolina, and they had a storm there. He said it was straight line winds. That's what they called them.
Yes, there's another term they used in Canada when it started 3 years ago, and the announcer said it was a brand new phrase they were using. I can't remember what it was. But this is a strange phenomenon that we have these straight winds cutting swaths right through forests in a straight line, and it's as though the loggers had been through it literally is a straight line going on for maybe half a mile and then just stops.
Yep.
And nothing in nature happens in a straight line, you see.
Well, it just, of course, isn't in nature. But Mel was saying that they had almost hurricane-type winds.
Yep.
And it was one of those 20-minute, 30-minute ones.
Yes.
And he was telling me that the rain was actually coming sideways. Remember when we had those storms I told you?
Mm-hmm.
And the wind was, okay, this was yesterday, or day before yesterday, we had two of them. And they come right out of nowhere. Now, the Weather Channel is calling them pop-up storms.
Mm-hmm.
And your sun will be bright, and suddenly the sky is overcast, it's cloudy, and there it comes. And I was in the family room, had the hallway windows open.
Uh-huh.
I was a good, at least 8, maybe 10 feet away from the windows, and when that rain hit, it was landing on me. And by the time I got the windows closed in that direction, I had water every place.
Uh-huh.
And then by the time I got the windows closed, it was done. The sun came out, and about 2 hours later, we had another one, just
mm-hmm.
like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're using advanced science on the public. And, of course, they never write about these sciences in the popular science magazines or anything. And so Joe Average will think, if you mention this stuff, that, well, that's impossible, we don't have the technology. But yeah, they do have the technology. The real technology is never given to the public. And whenever they write that they're working on something, that's old news. They've had it. It's probably obsolete by now, really. That's how they keep us in one reality while they have the toys in another, you know. So they're very, very advanced with the science. They're also coupling HARP with arrays of satellites and boosting the signal, and they can actually bring it right down on anywhere on the planet.
In other words, pinpoint it.
Yes, uh-huh.
Uh-huh, I got
it. That can be done to an individual or to a whole state.
I wanted to thank my new friend, Tim mm-hmm. Thomas. He's a radio broadcaster in Cornell, morning show.
Yeah.
And Tim has offered, he's got all the radio equipment for me to give him a call. And Tim, if you're listening, I will be calling and thank you so much for your offer, because what he wants to do is some testing on my radio equipment to see if there's anything that can be done to uh-huh. tweak it or whatever.
Yeah.
But meantime, he had mentioned in his email that they had a tornado there. He's up above around Corning area.
Uh-huh.
And I read the newspaper article, and they were talking about strange phenomena. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, they mentioned the rain coming in sideways. That's
yeah,
the way.
I had that today too. Yeah.
That's the way it's coming in. It's coming in sideways, Alan.
Yeah. Yeah. I had that today. It was a sudden storm. It started very quickly, and I had to run, close the windows. And when I was 12 feet from them, the rain was hitting me.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Very strong winds. And it only lasted maybe 10 minutes, and the heavy downpour.
Just in time to get all the windows closed.
That's right. I think they're trying to frustrate us all.
Yeah.
That's it.
I know.
You know, they are using all this technology, and they're going through their long agenda, their planned agenda for an age of chaos, and it has to take in everything that they can
yeah.
possibly manage and bring the chaos about.
You know, I remember when I first started getting involved and waking up, getting politically involved at that time, back in 92, late 91, but it was probably about 93, and I lived in Illinois at the time, and every time I drove into St. Louis, there was a road work at this one particular place, and it went on forever. I mean, it just, month after month after month after month after month.
Yeah.
And I mentioned it to Nicole, and she goes, Mom, I don't understand what takes them so long. Why? I said, Nicole, actually, it's intentional, honey. I said, they're doing it to frustrate people in heavy traffic and drive time. Traffic is piled up for miles, even in non-drive time.
Mm-hmm.
You're a mile back because of the road work there. And she says, oh, get real. Well, a few years ago, she said, Mom, I believe you now. I believe you now, because she said, they're there constantly, you know, doing road work and blocking traffic and closing lanes off, and they hang out in the same place for a long time. And folks, if this sounds, if you happen to be a new listener and this sounds out of this world to you, it's because it is. If you continue to listen, I believe that you will realize that what we're saying is not paranoia or right-wing wacko, radical wacko, but it is exactly what it is for, is to cause frustration and stress. And
it's also to create, Sudbury is the nearest town to me, and since I've been here for the last almost 3 years come winter, there's been one stretch of road that they've dug up, and then resurfaced and dug up, and they keep going every year with the same stretch. And what it is, Sudbury is very, very Masonic. The lodges, all kinds of lodges are everywhere, and what they do is dish out the tax money to the high guys who own all the construction companies. It's a job creation scheme for high masons, and it goes on and on and on. Just dig it up and fill it in, dig it up and fill it in, and the public are just used to it. You know that's how it goes. Yeah. That happens in every city too. Yeah. And then they'll dig it up and say, "Oh, we have to put another pipe in underneath there that we missed it the last time." And then they pull out these brand new pipes that you see and stack them all. They're spanking new. They're only a year old. And they put another bunch in. And this con game goes on forever.
Probably fiber optics, though. I think they've been replacing. Uh-huh. They started this a long time ago on the main highways.
And along the railroad lines. I saw them doing that. They're actually burying them alongside the railroad tracks. So, they are doing that. And there's a lot goes on that the public are totally unaware of. But I was going to mention that there was a caller last night that talked about October.
Oh, yes.
And October is a very popular month for the ones who rule the planet, the money boys, and their minions of very high masons down to the humble low ones. And Red October, of course, was the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia. And red is the color of the active principle, as they call it, the regenerative power, the flame, the fire.
Because it's so the color of blood?
The blood and fire, you know. You see a fire, and in the middle of the yellow flame, you'll find the red, you know. So red is their color. It always has been. And Red October is extremely important to them. And this time, of course, you have the red planet in its closest conjunction for, I think, 1,500 years coming up. And they love these dates to cause some kind of mayhem. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do something in October.
Mars, are we talking about Mars?
Yeah, that's the god of war.
The god of war. I haven't been out to look, but I had read this, that you'll be able to see it very, very clearly, and it'll look very large.
Yes.
Is that going on right now, Alan?
Not just yet, no, but apparently it will. It's not going to be huge, but it's going to be a lot brighter than it usually is.
And it's its closest to the Earth than it has been in thousands of years?
I think 1.5, they said.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
So they couldn't miss an opportunity like that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have a hunch that something is going to pop in October.
Yeah, they have all these dates, April 19, there's another popular one, you know.
Well, then there's Hallowed Evening.
Yes,
in October.
And the Ides of March, the Ides of September, which is September.
We have to take a break here.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, please get your pen in your hand. And Alan, I'm going to be away from the mic for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
When we come back from this break, give our listeners your address and how they can get your book. And also, I forgot to call Darren today or to email him. Folks, we need to change Alan's address at our website.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dog.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
folks, we're back on with you. I don't know if we're back on the shortwave or not yet, and I don't even know if you got my address or heard anything I said. Alan is going to give you his address and tell you how you can get his books. And so, Alan, I'll be back, okay?
Yes, sir.
You go right ahead.
Right. Yes, I have three books. It's a series, really, called Cutting Through. And I just number them 1, 2, and 3. And I go through the ancient societies right up to the present time, how they still run the world, off the profane, as they call the mass of the people, those in the darkness, in other words. And I go through a lot of Masonic coding, which isn't mentioned in regular Masonic books, in the language itself. The English language was updated and created by them, really, in the 1500s, and within the English language they encoded a whole bunch of ciphers which they themselves use all the time, and they use it in newspapers, and they speak it too on the main news. And if you understand it, you get the other meanings that you're being told, but it's really meant for higher Masons, not for the guys below 33 degrees. So I also give you photographs of the rituals and things like that. I also tie it in to the money system from the earliest of times, so going back from the days of Sumer. And I know there were civilizations prior to Sumer that also used gold and silver, and they waited then before coin came in around 800 BC. So I pack these things with information. And 1 and 2 are written in a sort of gestalt manner, because as you read it, you'll have to start thinking. Your mind will do it automatically, and things will suddenly come clear to you that before you simply glossed over, and you'll wonder why on earth you never saw all this before. Number 3 is written more than a normal format, with the history of the banking tied in with the merchants of ancient times, and how they created wars and manipulated nations and installed their own tyrants, who then began to tax the people. Taxation is very important to their rulership, and dominates the countries forever. So these books are $25 US each, and if you send the money, make sure it's an international postal order, which you can get from your post office. And it must be international, and send it to me at Alan Watt. That's A-L-A-N Watt is W-A-T-T, site 41, which is S-I-T-E 41, box 4, Estaire, which is E-S-T-A-I-R-E, Ontario, Canada, and the postal code is P for Peter, 3, E for Elizabeth, 4, N for Nora, 1. So that's Alan Watt, site 41, box 4, Estaire, with an E, Ontario, Canada, and the postal code is P for Peter, 3, E for Elizabeth, 4, N for Nora, 1. And my telephone number is 705-695-0416, and I'll get them out to you as soon as I can. But you certainly will not only enjoy them, but it really will show you things that you should have seen all your life, but you've been blinded by the indoctrination of the system. And the history, again, is taken from ancient philosophers who occasionally mentioned money, the secret societies, which they all belonged to. They admitted that back in ancient Greece, that they'd all gone to Egypt to study and join the societies of priests. Every single philosopher did that. And Plato, being from the aristocracy, also trained in Egypt. And then he went to India for another higher degree, and then to the so-called Holy Land for another higher degree, and then went back to his hometown. So this is a regular route that these guys took. And they seldom mention the money, just once in a while, which is rather odd, since the whole money system ran the ancient world just as it does today. It wasn't food and carrots that ran the world, it was the money. And that is the artificial system in which we live. It would be very, very hard for them to build cities where they can then create the artificial system of taxation if you paid them in food. They wouldn't be able to do it. And neither could they get a standing army together to go and conquer other countries unless you get the city first and then use the money, train soldiers and pay them. And that's the beginnings of mayhem. We take these things for granted simply because we're born into a system where these things all exist. And Lenin himself, who was trained by the best bankers on the planet, wrote about it, and he said that the public must never realize there's 1,000 directions that humankind could go and societies could go. He says, but they must never know this. They must think that the one they're born in must be natural because it seemed to have evolved that way. That's the trick. And of course, if your parents don't know it was all fake, then and since all mammals learn from their parents, if your parents don't know and they can't tell you, then you'll fall into the same trap. You're then trained to in school to go out and run after this thing called money. They pour out movies, rags to riches movies, which condition us to believe that you just work hard and you get there.
Well, that's the American dream, Alan.
It's the American dream.
Yeah.
And of course, they're all snoring, but that's what a dream is for. It's not reality. And you don't get up into the upper ranks unless they open and bring you up. Not allow you up, but actually bring you up.
Did you give your address?
Yes, sir.
Did you give that postal code a couple of times?
I did.
Uh-huh. Good.
But you're mentioning there, I think we were off the air at the time, to get someone to inform Derek, is it?
Darren.
About my address.
Well, actually, I need to do that.
Uh-huh.
And I forgot to do it today.
Mm-hmm.
And I will do it, but I just wanted you to know, folks, that in the resources section of the website at sweetliberty.org is where Alan's first book was advertised. And the address there is the old address. And it never occurred to me until Alan told me he was informed by one of our visitors. And it just, the website has really grown, and it just didn't occur to me. So I will. And Darren listens to the broadcast when he can.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times when I mention something on the air, the next thing you know, he's done it. And so anyway, as long as they have your address right now. Alan?
Yes.
While I was gone, I wanted you to hear this. This is what Tim sent me about the tornado. And it's Canisteo. I think I'm pronouncing it correctly. It's around Corning, New York, which is just above us. Reports of a tornado touched down Friday afternoon. That would have been last Friday. It was about 2:30, according to Jim Brewster, Binghamton-based meteorologist. Most of the damage was confined to wooded areas in a cornfield, and then there was some damage. I'm not going to read this whole thing. They said the couple was sitting on their enclosed sun porch when the storm hit. They had a pole sheared, and it snapped a 60-foot-tall pine tree and embedded two pine trees into a camper. It was a tornado. But they were sitting on their enclosed sun porch when the storm hit. They saw the beginning of the wind damage before deciding to move further inside their home. She said it started to rain. There was a little hail, and all of a sudden, there was a roaring wind. We saw the pine trees start to fold down and headed inside for cover because it was really severe. It was unbelievable, she said. The whole thing only took about 60 seconds before it was over. This is why I wanted you and our listeners to hear this. And then they talked about the damage to their property and that the cows weren't hurt. Okay, let me go down here. There was power outage. Okay, listen to this now. The tornado was confirmed by the National Weather Service Saturday as an F1, meaning winds range between 73 to 112 miles per hour. Brewster said the winds for the Canisteo tornado were likely between 75 and 80. And I think Mel told me that the winds that they had there in North Carolina with their storm were around, they were close to hurricane force winds. But listen to this, Alan. Brewster said, I saw enough evidence to confirm an F1 tornado. It appears as if it was a tightly wound brief tornado that was about 100 to 150 yards in width and ran about a mile. It basically ran right along State Route 36 over Bush Hill, dropped down behind a residence. And CTM was right next door to the residence that got hit. It was pretty much confined in the area between Gravel Run Road and Rock Run Road. Stewart said, listen to this. The damage to the cornfield looked like crop circles, which Brewster said looked very unusual. That was very unique, Brewster said. There was definitive damage in the storm track. Then they had these other strange circular damages to the cornfield. This is a newspaper article.
Yes, sir.
Crop circles. But you know what I thought about? We've talked about this before. I don't know if we've talked about it on the air or not, but the fact that they can pinpoint, I think that's probably what they're doing is practicing their little mini tornadoes so they could hit a particular property and just take it out.
Yes, sir. They can do it. They can do it. So.
I think so, because back about 19... I think it was 98. It was in the summer. In fact, I was doing... No, yes. I was doing 6 p.m. at the time. And so it would have been that summer, and the children were visiting. Jody was here. And I was in the studio here around 5 o'clock, and Ashley came running in and said, Momo, come and help us. It's raining, and the rain is coming in every window. And I ran out of the room, and by then... They had shut all the windows, but now this is not a tornado. We're up 1,800 feet, okay, Alan? We always keep all the windows in the house open in the summertime, and it's good that we did, because Jody was in the kitchen, which is a wide entrance to the dining area, the dining room, and when I got out there, she said, Mom, you wouldn't believe this. She said that wind came in here and you could actually feel it swirling around. She said it was just like a tornado was inside the house. Well, it was over in a matter of minutes. Same thing. However, we didn't know this. There's some very huge, it's a poplar tree, hybrid poplar. They're probably about 90 foot tall out there, 80. They're very tall, big. They're not the kind of poplars that are tall and skinny. They got great big spreading branches. And so anyway, the people that owned the place before we bought here stopped by after dinner. And John came in and he said, I see you took down one of the big poplars. I said, what? He said, well, one of the big poplars is down out there. And Alan, the top of that tree came off. If it had come to the house, it was actually not in center of the house, but to the left of the house a little. But it went over to the left and took half of a little crabapple tree out. That would have totally come through the roof. Huge trees. I've had them topped, by the way, since then, so that can't happen. But it was a mini tornado, and we were the only one that got hit. Mm-hmm. There was no damage anywhere else around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it took a tree right out.
Yeah. Yep. It's micromanagement of the weather. They admitted that in the newspapers, that the U.S. would sharply own the weather. And that was 4 years ago.
Well, there's a website. It's an Air Force website. Mm-hmm. Basically, it says the Air Force owns the weather.
Yeah. And they do. And, of course, NASA controls the satellites, which can also be used in conjunction with all the various HAARP technologies they have and beam it exactly back down on Earth wherever they want to. 4 years ago, I was working under a truck. And broad daylight in the middle of summer, and I heard this whoa, whoa, whoa sound, and I looked to my left and saw it was like a stroboscopic light, like a flash gun going off in a strobe fashion. I thought, my, I've been under here a long time, I'd better stand up and see if I'm okay. So I stood up and I felt fine, and yet everything was still flashing. I went inside the house, turned on the radio, and I could hear the same zap, zap, zap in time with the strobes. I turned on the television, which has rabbit ears and antennas on it, and it was picking up the signal on the picture in conjunction with the radio sound going across there. And that night I had 3 or 4 calls from different people in different parts of the States and a couple in Canada who said, this might sound really weird to you, but I thought I saw like flash guns going off, strobe lights in the middle of the sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, I experienced it, and they're using some sort of new satellite technology. But that meant they were basking Ontario and who knows where else up this way, right down into Carolina and different parts. It's a huge area. So that they do have different technologies they have been testing in the public. And I've no doubt that they'll keep records of different kinds of sicknesses through their doctor's records and hospital visits and so on, and police reports to see how psychological changes occur with violence or depression or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And feed it all back to them. But there was definitely some big experiment, and it went on and off for about maybe over a 3 week period, maybe 3 times. Yeah. So they are using amazing technologies which they'll never tell the public about. And of course in the high noble masonry, I've been told from 3 separate sources in that these organizations that there are 3 levels of science, and from professorship down is the lowest level. So everything that the public are informed about is the lowest level of science.
Sure.
At CIA and so on, they get to use the middle level for their gimmicks that they use. But there's a higher level above them that belong to the guardians who run the whole show for the planet. And that's how this system works. And that's why those at the bottom would say, well, that's impossible. I read all the magazines and scientific journals, and they would have told us. Well, that's the con game. They would have told us. No, that keeps you in the dark.
Right. You know, Alan,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you recall this or not. It was in the summertime, and I have no idea what the year was, maybe 99.
Mm-hmm.
The children were here. It was summertime, and it was in the evening. We were out in the garden, in the big garden, the children and I. Chuck was up closer to the house,
mm-hmm.
and suddenly there was an explosion. And I stood there, and it was so intense.
Mm-hmm.
And my first thought was, oh, my God, they've done it.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking of a nuclear explosion.
Yeah.
And the children and I looked at each other, and we took off running for the house.
Mm-hmm.
And Chuck came out. He said, don't go in the house. Don't go in the house. It could have been a gas explosion. We have natural gas here.
Yeah.
And so we walked out to the road, you know, to look down because it sounded so close. And it was real hazy out that night. And when I looked down the road to where the neighbor is, I thought, oh, my God, I wonder if Sherm's house blew up because it looked so hazy. Well, then the next thing you know, a car's coming up the road, one of the emergency, you know, volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, do you know where that occurred? We said, no, it sounded like it was down there. Well, we got in the car and started driving around. And as far as we went, even up into the state line, people were talking about it. Mm-hmm. And everybody you talked to, they thought it was right near their home.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, there were newspaper reports the next day. We were told that an airplane crashed someplace, I forget what. But in the newspaper, colored photographs of corn plants that had these little perforations, perfect perforations across the leaves of the, what do you call them, the fronds, the stems, we never, ever found out what the heck happened,
mm-hmm.
but the perforations in the corn plants, and it happened in many of the areas.
When was this?
I've got the newspaper articles in there in my file.
Uh-huh.
Isn't it interesting how something like that happens? It's so intense.
Yeah.
And then it's like gone.
I think it was last year. The major news up here reported that something was exploding in the air over from British Columbia, at least, they said British Columbia, all the way down into the U.S. states, and it was set off car alarms in the middle of the night all the way down. And then, of course, the speculation came out that brought up, oh, it might be some kind of strange meteor and so on.
Well, see, we were also told that,
mm-hmm.
that they thought a meteor hit someplace.
Yeah.
But nothing.
Yes. The odd thing was, a week later, Australia had the same thing happen.
Oh, wow.
And what they're doing is using, the Tesla technology. They're superheating parts of the atmosphere, and they're literally exploding. That's what they're doing.
That's probably what happened here. We're out of our hour. And ladies and gentlemen, we will be back with you tomorrow night. Thank you for being here tonight. And I hope you were able to hear the broadcast and not have to pick pieces out of our conversation.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.